Ladies and gentlemen, it is hockey night in New York. Welcome to the program, everyone. It is Monday, March 25th, 2019. Coming at you live from the Hockey Night in New York studios. Thank you so much for joining us. Great show coming up for you tonight. Chris King, the radio play-by-play voice, will be joining us right off the top of the show here. My name is Sean Cufford. With me, as always, is Mr. Tony Stabile. Tony, how are you?
I'm good, brother. How you doing?
I am doing all right. Big weekend for the boys. So good stuff in Island Country. It started off a little tough earlier on in the week, but they circled back, got a couple of big wins, and obviously the big shutout for Leonard yesterday. But let's introduce right now, joining us is Mr. Chris King. Chris, how are you, sir?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Doing very well. Doing great. Thank you so much for joining us and giving us a few minutes here. Really appreciate it. Let's start with the way this week started, because it wasn't looking so good. People were getting a little bit nervous. You have back-to-back shutouts against the Islanders, and also a lot of goals put up on the board. 5-0 against Boston, 4-0 against Montreal, and people started getting a little worried. Just talk about what happened that that stretch of games there, and you know, the Isles just kind of getting off their game here.
They really did, you know, and then Barry Trotz calls it, you know, getting off the rails, and that's what it was. And, you know, he said, look, we're not the kind of team that wins games 6-5 and 5-4 in those type of games. And obviously the defensive structure that we've seen all year was kind of out the window for those two games. And, you know, they go into a huge drought where not only, you know, are the forwards aren't scoring, but the defense aren't chipping in the way they have the last couple of games either. But, you know, it's amazing because it was such a, you know, at the time you look at it as devastating back-to-back losses being shut out in back-to-back games. And then in 29 hours over the weekend from, you know, 1 o'clock Saturday in Philadelphia until 6 o'clock yesterday at the Coliseum, boy, can, you know, that short time period turn things around when you win two games and you look like the Islanders that you saw for the first, you know, 74 games of the year.
Hey, Chris. It's amazing. You know, this team has been pretty consistent the entire the entire season, and you look at just like this last little bit here, what they're like 9-8-1, I think, in their last 18. But really, on a for the entire season, they've been very, very consistent. Can you just talk a little bit about the fact that Barry has been able to take a team that last season was so wildly inconsistent and with mostly the same roster has been able to keep them as even keeled as he has this year?
Yeah, and I think that's a huge point, too, because, as you said, last year that wasn't the case. And this year, you know, they have not had a single stretch where they've lost three straight games in regulation all year. I mean, they were up against that, you know, Saturday in Philadelphia. Had they lost in regulation, it would have been the first time it's happened all year. And they actually only have one three-game winless streak all season. I think that was in November where they went 0-2-1. But no stretch of, you know, three straight games without getting at least 1 point all season. And that is a tribute to Barry and the coaching staff. And, you know, I talked to Matt Martin about it recently, and he just had nothing but rave reviews of what Barry does behind the bench, how he calms things down, how he tries to block out outside distractions for the players. You know, just focus on our game. Don't worry about the shots on goal clock, and don't worry about getting on the referee, things that Matt Martin has said, you know, Islander teams he's been on in the past were very concerned with, and it was just distracting. So he's got that calming presence. You know, he was funny. Barry was talking about it recently. He said, you know, sometimes under the bench, he says, I get those little duck feet going, like you would see a duck, you know, paddling on a pond, very calm on top of the water, but, you know, dancing like crazy underneath. But he never shows anything but that calmness behind the bench. And you know what? He's been doing it for 20 years and now 1,600 games. And he really has done a great job of keeping this team on an even keel through the high stretches of that great run from, you know, mid-December to mid-February to kind of the 500, you know, play that we've seen since then.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's amazing because it's, you know, the team on the ice is has definitely responded to that cool demeanor that he has behind the bench. But the goaltending has been so consistent. Their numbers are almost identical. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this where you have two goaltenders who are playing basically the same hockey? I mean, they have the same, almost the same record, almost the same save percentage, almost the same goals against average. They have the same amount of shutouts. I mean, it's absolutely it's almost unheard of.
It is, and you know, and then you start right at the top, right? 44 wins for the team. Greiss has 22, Leonard has 22. You mentioned they each have 5 shutouts. The 10 shutouts ties the franchise record for the Islanders, and they both pretty much been, you know, since they got going a month and a half in, top 5 in the NHL in both big categories in goals against average and save percentage. So it's a nice dilemma for Barry Trotz to have. You know, he said he doesn't know what he's going to do come playoff time, and that's when it gets really interesting because, you know, if you look back at the history of any team that's won the Stanley Cup, it's very hard to find anybody that, you know, rotated goaltenders certainly in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So you'd like to find one guy that's going to get hot and ride that guy. And, you know, Barry kind of has talked about some crazy scenarios he's done in the past of the AHL where he had one goalie that won the first two rounds and another goalie that won the second two rounds and won the Calder Cup in the American Hockey League. But, you know, I think he'd like to settle on one guy, and I have a feeling he's leaning towards Robin Leonard just because of, you know, Leonard's numbers slightly better through the course of the year than Thomas Greiss, although everything else is split down the middle. And, you know, just what an incredible story Robin Leonard is, and, you know, his remarkable turnaround. He's a lock for the Masterton Trophy for perseverance and dedication to the game of hockey.
Yeah, absolutely, no question, Chris. And you know, it's funny. I had the question lined up for the playoffs, and then you beat me to it, of course. But just also wanted to mention a little thing about the goaltending with Barry. Is a couple times now he's played either Thomas Greiss or Robin Leonard in back-to-back situations and back-to-back days, and you don't really see that very often. And, you know, a guy like me watching and paying attention to something like that, and you say, hey, you know, maybe he's giving this guy, you know, a little too much work, and then Leonard turns around and gets the shutout yesterday against the Coyotes. So, I mean, maybe just comment on that. Have you seen that, you know, happen regularly over recent years, or is that something that maybe is just a little, you know, out-of-the-box thinking here from Barry?
Yeah, a little bit for sure. In fact, yesterday was the first time Robin Leonard had started back-to-back games all season. He had appeared in back-to-back games, one of those in relief or another one in relief, but not starts back-to-back, and I believe Greiss has only done it twice this year as far as starts go. But, you know, he had good logic when he explained it yesterday. We carried the post-game show on our broadcast. He said, look, I didn't think he had a tremendous workload in Philadelphia, and the fact that he was coming off that injury when he got run over by Brady Tkachuk. You know, he said, look, I think he wanted to get some, you know, get back into a rhythm, get back into a groove. And Robin kind of echoed that in the postgame as we had him on as well from the Islander locker room. So it was just a gut feeling by Barry. You know, he got them a big win in Philadelphia where they really needed it. And he certainly, you know, came through big yesterday, especially on that crazy shorthanded sequence when Michael Grabner, of all people, had that great breakaway and he made the diving glove save on his belly. Then he stopped Grabner from the circle. Then he stopped Richardson in front. And then the one puck that got through him all day, Brock Nilsson, and stopped it behind him on the goal line, and that was really the biggest threat the Yotes had all afternoon. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens come playoff time. I think, you know, guys, he does have to settle on one, but you have to remember, you don't have to always stick to that plan, and all you have to do is look back a year ago. When he was headed to the playoffs last year with the Caps, Philip Grubauer was his guy. He had decided it was not going to be Braden Holtby. It was Philip Grubauer. Well, guess what? They lose game one to Columbus in overtime at home. They lose game two at home to Columbus in overtime, and suddenly they're down 0-2. He pulls Grubauer late in that game two, brings in Braden Holtby, and guess what? Philip Grubauer never saw the crease again. Braden Holtby ran the table and won the Stanley Cup.
That's right. That's right. I guess at the end of the day, the fact is, they have two great options to go with, so at least he's kind of has an embarrassment of riches in net this year, no question about it. Wanted to move over to another position, though, that's been a bit of concern this season as far as depth goes, and it finally kind of bit the Islanders at a pretty inopportune time, and that's Val Filppula at center going down and them having to kind of shift things around and see how they're going to, you know, handle that. They bring up Mitch Fritsch. He has a great game yesterday against Arizona. Phenomenal penalty killing. Just talk a little bit about him and maybe about, you know, whether or not they're going to go long-term with him as Filppula stays out.
It looks for sure now that they will, you know, and I thought Tanner Fritz was very impressive yesterday, too. I mean, yeah, that great PK shift where suddenly the building's behind him and he just kept going and going and going and, you know, peeling seconds off that Arizona power play. And, you know, it was an incredible day for him yesterday. We had him on the post game as well. That was his first ever regular season game at the Coliseum. Just because, you know, when he was up with the club back in October and November, they weren't playing at the Coliseum yet, and I think he played two road games and two Brooklyn games. Then when they called him back up after the Filppula injury, everything was on the road for him. So that was his first regular season game at the Coliseum. He had played a couple preseason games there, but, you know, he got to feel what that crowd can be when the sellout crowd gets behind you, and just the way they were going all day long. So I think, you know, the plan is for right now to leave Tanner Fritz where he is, that third-line center spot. He's playing with Beauvillier and Komarov, and, you know, that line had some good time as well at even strength. So Barry has talked about, you know, the options of shifting guys to the middle if necessary because Bailey's played a lot of center, Beauvillier's played a lot of center, Komarov has been there even this year. But, you know, Val's not coming back certainly before the end of the regular season. And I think right now the job is for Tanner Fritz to win because, you know, Tommy Kuhnhackl could play there. Ross Johnston certainly can't. So those are the only other options at forward they have. And, you know, I think tomorrow is going to be a big night here for Tanner as he played his college hockey at Ohio State. And that's just down the road from Nationwide Arena here in Columbus. So I think he'll have maybe his best game ever just on adrenaline tomorrow night here in Columbus.
Absolutely, Kristen. Just a question on the lineup, just because I was a little surprised, obviously, that Barry didn't go a little bit of a different lineup heading into the weekend. I know he said in the press conference that he wanted to challenge the group, which obviously it worked because they played great through the weekend anyway. They got the 4 points. But are you surprised that Michael Duck Hole has been sitting for the last 10 now? I mean, they called him up. They used one of those recalls on him, and he hasn't seen the ice almost since he's been back. So is that a little surprising to you?
Yeah, and I should have mentioned Michael Dal Colle. That's the one name I didn't put in there. You're right, guys. And, yes, it has been because, you know, Barry was asked about that recently, and he said it was more of a thing that, you know, he just had guys that he wanted for specific roles. And, in particular, the penalty-killing role was the thing that he really liked with Tanner Fritz, and that was the part that shined yesterday. But, yeah, you know, not seeing Michael Dal Colle in there for quite a long time now, I certainly thought he would get his shot. He decided to stick with those guys at forward coming off the back-to-back shutout losses that obviously, you know, reaped dividends when a bunch of the top six guys had good games in Philadelphia. And then yesterday, you know, Jordan Eberle looks like he might be coming back around again. Brock Nielsen's been kind of on a tear. But still, the stat I have over the last 9 games, guys, only 4 different forwards have scored a goal. Anders Lee has 4, Nelson has 3, Eberle has 2, and Bailey has 2. But that's only, again, 4 forwards that have scored at all in the last 9 games. So your other 8, 9, 10 forwards, you know, need to get something going. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they lose a game, then maybe you see MDC, Michael Dal Colle, back in there. But Barry is always reluctant to kind of change things up coming off a win and especially coming off back-to-back wins. But, you know, he has said he's talked to Michael about this and hopes to get him his chance sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, I get you, and I understand. I completely get that. I mean, that's you don't want to break continuity there. But another thing I wanted to ask you about is the game the other night where when Mayfield gets run, he gets hit twice in the same game, and Barry was a little upset because nobody responded. What was your feeling from that conversation with Barry, and you know the mood around you know what he's trying you know because he I mean you know that Barry is definitely that's not his style of play there. It's not what he wants. He preaches you know this continuity and this roster you know coming together and whatnot. So what did you gather from that talk with Barry and what he was talking how he felt about that whole thing?
I thought, guys, he was completely right, and I was shocked by the lack of a response. That was the game up in Montreal. You know, the game had long since been decided. Scotty Mayfield, you know, completely gets run over by Andrew Shaw, and nobody goes to his defense. And that's just not like this team at all. We've seen them do that all year long. And again, especially in that situation where you've got nothing to lose. This is, you know, third period. The game's long been decided, and something like that happens. And I think the most disturbing part to Barry was, had it happened to anybody else, Scotty Mayfield is the kind of guy that would have been the first guy in there, guy in there, you know, to protect any one of his teammates. And I loved Barry's comment. Barry's comment, he said, our guys are staring at pennies. So, in other words, he's saying every single guy had their head down, wasn't looking at any one of the Montreal Canadiens. Nobody tried to get at Andrew Shaw. And that was very disturbing. And he, you know, point blank said, this will be addressed in the room. And I guarantee you it was. So I don't think you'll ever see that type of situation again occur the rest of the regular season. But I'm shocked it even happened once because, you know, I'm in that room almost every single day. And it's such a tight group. And, you know, they play for one another. They love one another, to be honest. And to have, you know, one of theirs go down and nobody step up and say, you're just not going to do this, was absolutely shocking. And I think Barry, you know, handled it exactly the way he should have.
Yeah, and the thing that surprised me the most is that Andrew Ladd was standing no fewer than a few feet away, and Ladd being, you know, that, you know, A on his chest, one of the veterans in the room, the fact that he didn't jump in there just was, I was stunned, to be honest with you. I couldn't believe that there was nothing from him.
I agree. I completely agree. And, you know, certainly the Andrew Ladd that we saw all those years in Winnipeg with the C on his chest, you know, would have been one of the first guys in there in that time. Now, I don't know what's changed since then, but I agree with you. When I saw that, you know, he was the closest to it and he didn't do anything, that was very shocking. And like you said, you expect something, you know, from a veteran leader like he is, who's been through the wars. He's won multiple Stanley Cups. He knows what it takes, and he knows that a team sticks together. So I haven't, you know, personally had the opportunity to ask him about it because it's only been matinees since then, and there's really been no practices or morning skates to talk to the guys. But I would be interested to get his take and to see, you know, did he just, you know, did something just, you know, not fire in him that normally does, or what was the situation that didn't have him, you know, jumping in to the defense of Scotty Mayfield?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. And last one from me before we let you go. I guess, you know, we're talking about this team and heading into the playoffs now. We can't go without talking about the power play because it's going to be a vital, you know, part of the game here. When we get into the playoffs. So, look, I think it's 1-for-37 now is the number.
You're right.
Over this
exactly
last
right.
Stretch of game. Right. So, you know, that obviously needs to change. I mean, the style of hockey that they're playing well 5-on-5. They're winning these low-scoring tight games, which is a good sign heading into the playoffs. But, you know, when every play is really going to be under the microscope come playoff time, I mean, is there what can this team do to turn this power play around? It just amazes me. You know, now maybe they don't have the most top-end talent compared to other teams in the division, in the league, but I'm still shocked that they can't turn this around and at least put a couple more goals in there.
I agree with you completely. And again, when people talk playoff hockey, you guys know it. What is it? What do you talk about first? Goaltending and special teams, right? Well, they got the goaltending side of it locked up. They got two goaltenders that you'd feel super confident with either one in there. But you've got to do something on this power play. As you said, 1-for-37 over the last 16 games. That's where it is now. So, you know, so far, Barry Trotz has made minor tweaks to it. Obviously, we saw Nick Leddy come off the first unit. Devon Taves go there. I did like that. We actually saw Matt Barzal last couple of games come off the first unit. Josh Bailey go in there. But I think, you know, when it comes down to situations like this, you just have to simplify it. You just have to pound pucks on the net and you know, rely on the fact that you have an outnumbered situation down low. And sometimes they're just trying to get too cute and too fancy. And Barry was asked, you know, point blank yesterday, is this the type of situation where you step in and you try to do something yourself as opposed to letting, you know, Scott Gomez and John Gruden are the guys who are in charge with the power play, letting them try to work their way out of it. And he said he prefers not to, you know, step in to try to change things. He prefers to let them try to, you know, fight their way out of this slump. But I think anytime, guys, we've seen power play slumps like this in the past, it's all about simplification. Instead of, you know, looking for the tic-tac-toe passing with a slam dunk goal, use the guys that you have that can bring that big shot from the blue line. If you really want to simplify it, put Ryan Pulock as the lone defenseman on the first unit. Let him bomb from the blue line. Put Johnny Boychuk on the second unit from the blue line. Those are your two hotter shots from D-men. And just put it on goal and then crash the net. Look how great Anders Lee's in front, right? The amount of deflections or rebounds or screens and things he can do in front of the net, just coming off point shots, I think could change it around. So I think if they, you know, get back to basics and simplify it, you get out of the funk and then maybe, you know, you get some confidence on it. Because right now, you know, when you've only scored one time in 17 games, actually one time in the last 16 games and 37 chances, something's got to change.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I'm with you, Chris. Get some shots to the net. Well, look, I want to thank you so much for giving us some time, joining us on the show here. Really appreciate it. And, hey, enjoy the stretch run here to the playoffs.
I will, guys. Thanks for having me. Always great talking hockey with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Chris. Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. That was Mr. Chris King, the play-by-play voice for the New York Islanders on the radio. Great stuff from him, as always. Tony, how you doing over there, buddy?
Doing good. Just so people understand that why this sounds the way that it does, the wonderful Long Island Railroad decided that they had to have all kinds of problems, and I got hijacked in Manhattan, so I am remote tonight, and Sean is running the show from the studio, so that's why we sound the way that we do. We apologize for that, but all that being said, great spot by Chris. And hey, it's been a weird week. So, you know, who better have on the show than Chris and to go over this stuff, and the guys who probably has the best handle on any of the numbers from anything. You know, he watches every minute of every game, every practice. The guy is phenomenal.
Absolutely, no question about it. Yeah, you do sound like you're in a wind tunnel, Tony. It does sound like you're either in a cave or a wind tunnel, but. You know, the most important thing is that you're here, you're on the air, and we're doing the show. And, you know, I got to give you a little bit of business and myself a little business as well, because I referred to Mr. Fritz as Mitch Fritz. I don't know why that happened. Mr. Tanner Fritz. Mitch, mistake. Apologies, Tanner. Sorry about that. Yeah, and how many years ago was that guy on the squad? And for the brief time that he was. So nice little goof there by me. And I got to correct you. Andrew Ladd's not wearing an A anymore, buddy. He's not. They gave that to Bailey.
I realized that after I said it.
I was letter wearing meant that he was wearing the A at some point, but it's regardless. I have feelings on this. We'll talk about this later, but I don't know.
Yes,
I agree. But I think my mistake was a little less egregious than Mitch Fritz.
Wow. Okay, I'll give you that one. Just to save time and spare the listeners. But obviously, I disagree with you. But we'll keep the show rolling nonetheless.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So let's see. You know what I want to start with? I want to start with this whole, speaking of Andrew Ladd and Scott Mayfield and that whole situation with, the lack of defending your fellow player, your fellow teammate. I was right there with you. I was right there with Chris, man. Like, I was shocked when I saw that happen. I mean, and Shaw has been a bastard these last couple of games that they played the Islanders.
Yeah.
I remember watching the game the week before and being like, man, this guy is, the late. His memory, he had that clothesline. I forgot who it was. I think it was Cizikas when he just, like, reached his arm out and clotheslined him. It just, mm-hmm. The guy's been playing like a clown. And then he obviously has this late 30 hit on Mayfield. And like you said, like you pointed out, Andrew Ladd's standing right there, and he's just like, oh, that's unfortunate. That's too bad. he doesn't do anything about it. So, like, either, if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe he was worried about getting into a scuffle, and maybe he's still got some sort of injury problems, or maybe it was just a brain fart. Who the hell knows? But, I'm really, really glad that Barry Trotz called him out for it. I feel like in years past, that's something that maybe the coaching staff might have just glazed over. But he was like, no, that's a problem, and we're going to address it. And I was like, you keep doing me proud, Barry. You keep doing me proud.
Yeah, well, Barry's got the right idea, okay? It's Andrew Ladd that had the wrong idea. And honestly, there's no excuse, all right? There's no excuse for this. Andrew Ladd is a veteran NHL player of how many years? He was a captain. This is no brainer. Okay, your guy, one of your top four defensemen, was just run over by illegally almost late hit. The guy is down. There's got to be some kind of response. There's no room for this.
Yeah,
this type of team.
It doesn't matter if he's your top four defenseman or if he's your if that was Fritz, if that was Mitch Tanner Fritz.
The point being is that it was completely unacceptable. There was no reason for him not to get involved. If he's injured, he shouldn't be on the ice. Okay, he shouldn't be in uniform if he's injured. And if he's playing, you got to get into that. You got to defend your guy. Okay, if you were the guy that got run over, you'd want one of your guys to defend you. And the fact that no one did that was embarrassing. And the fact that it was Andrew Ladd, a guy who's being paid $5.5 million a year, that's done almost nothing this season, and has done very little in the time that he's been a New York Islander. For the time, the one thing he can do is stick up for his teammates, and he can't even do that. So I'll be honest with you, I'm very, very down on Andrew Ladd at this point because that was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, and you know what? Not just for that play alone, but just. And I've seen it, and it's been warranted. I mean, the guy really hasn't done much since he's come back, And, maybe that's just for being away for so long, or, it just makes you wonder, is this it? Is this what we're going to be getting now for the next 800 years that he's signed on this team? Because obviously he was brought on to do a lot more than he's doing now, and he has had injury problems ever since he showed up. And, it just makes you wonder, what kind of role this guy is going to have, not only in these final, six games to end the season, but, where he's going to slot in the playoffs and if he's going to be a factor or if he's going to be a hindrance to this team.
Well, I honestly thought, bro, as soon as Barry said that in the postgame, I thought for sure he'd be out of the lineup. I really did, because you knew who he was talking about. I mean, he was standing 4 feet from where this whole thing went down. So, I mean, I really thought that Barry would have pulled him out of the lineup. I understand why Barry stayed with the exact same lineup. So I get it. It obviously paid off. But I mean, honestly, if I was him, I would have definitely sat him. I'm sorry. There's no excuse for that. If you're on the ice, you should be defending your teammates no matter what.
Yeah. I guess Barry might be in a tough spot. I mean, look, we're all trying to play, you know, a mind reader here and see just kind of what the strategy is and what's kind of going through Barry Trotz's mind, because you see, you know, the lack of production from Ladd. You see what happened with Scotty Mayfield, and you say, yeah, I mean, why not get this guy on the bench? Why not give Michael Dalcala, you know, a chance to get back into the lineup here? And as Chris King mentioned, yes, you know, the guys have certain roles on the team, but you got Ladd in a top six spot right now, so why not throw MDC in there? I mean, he's played well. He hasn't been, you know, lighting the score sheet on fire, but he's definitely been playing well in the spots that he's been given. So I definitely have no problem with, you know, putting Ladd up in the press box for a little bit to give Dalcala a chance. My only thinking is maybe, you know, since Ladd is still relatively fresh off of this injury, maybe he's kind of trying to give him a little time just to see if he can get going and if he is going to be, you know, a factor here and help out. I would think that if Ladd has another couple of, you know, quiet games here, you know, before the season's out, then maybe we will see him scratch and maybe we will see Dalcola in there.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that. We both felt that, you know, the reason why Ladd was going to get this chance was that this was a chance for him to get going, to get some ice time, to try to get himself going before the playoffs. But, I mean, that really hasn't gone anywhere. You know, the guy hasn't really done much to this point. He's not generating a tremendous amount. And then the thing with the, you know, with Mayfield the other night is kind of the icing on the cake. You know, I have no use, you know, for me personally, if I sound like I'm flipping about it, it's because I have no use for that. You know, guys on that team, and Sean, you've been playing hockey as long as I have, almost, because I'm older, but you know that when you have that jersey on, you're supposed to be sticking up for the guys who wear your same jersey. I mean, you know, those guys in the room, those are your brothers, so... You know, the fact that he did nothing, just stood there like an idiot. I mean, I have no patience for that.
No, it was a bad look. But you know what? In fairness to Ladd, yeah, he was the closest guy, but nobody else came over. You know, it's not like anybody else came flying in. You know, it doesn't matter where you're. He's just the biggest culprit because he was the guy right there, right? So he should have been the first man in, no doubt about it. And he got no more, you know, bad marks for that, without question. But where was everybody else? There's three other guys on the ice. They should have came over too.
No.
The fact that it was a line wide situation there was a little telling. But again, it was addressed, and you know, hopefully we don't see anything like that, you know, going forward. I mean, especially once we hit the playoffs. I mean, you gotta have your boys back. I mean, look, and the games are just gonna get tougher. They're gonna get more physical. That's how the playoffs are. You know,
so they
gotta be in that right mindset. So again, full marks to Barry Trotz for calling them out and addressing the situation. So hopefully we won't see that nonsense again, and these guys will do the right thing. But it was surprising because everybody always talks about how tight this team is, how tight-knit they are. It's a great group of guys. They're all very close.
That was the reason why I mentioned it to Chris.
So where the hell was it there? Yeah.
Right. And that's why I mentioned it to Chris, because it is so surprising. Barry preaches this. He preaches that, you know, what, you know, you take care of the guy next to you. You know, that's like his mantra, you know, and he's preached that from the very beginning. We talked about it, you know, with the whole Tavares thing and how he used that to bring these guys together and said, well, he didn't want to be a teammate, and like he used that all year long, that cohesiveness on the bench. And the fact that that happened in a game against a playoff team a week, you know, 2 weeks before the playoffs start was just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, same here. Same here. Well, folks, thank you so much for tuning in to Hockey Night in New York with Sean Cuthbert and Tony Stabile on this special edition Monday night. Apologies we couldn't do the show last night. We got a couple of grumbles. What am I going to do on my Monday morning commute? Sorry, folks,
but we're here.
Better Monday than Nunday. So folks, we're gonna take a quick break. Thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll be right back.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Hockey Night in New York at HockeyNightNY.com, the premier live podcast covering the New York Islanders and the NHL at large from our studios right here on Long Island, hosted by Sean Cuthbert and Tony Stabile. Tune in weekly during the season, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, for insights on the team, great special guests, and commentary on all the happenings around the league. If you happen to miss us live, all shows can be streamed or downloaded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at the same address, HockeyNightNY.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, and Stitcher, where you can subscribe and never miss a show, no matter what your preferred platform. Question for the guys? Comments? Interested in the sponsorship? please contact us at hockeynightnewyork@gmail.com for any and all inquiries. We appreciate all the support, and as always, let's go Islanders! Love repping your favorite Long Island hockey team? Can't get enough orange and blue swag? Look no further than Yes Men Outfitters, the independent lifestyle brand born on the island to support the game, the team, and the players you love. Visit YesMenOutfitters.com for a wide selection of themed shirts, hats, hoodies, and yes, even pajamas. All apparel is designed and created in-house with the same passion and dedication as your favorite team on the ice. So upgrade your wardrobe and show off your pride today by visiting YesMenOutfitters.com. And don't forget to use promo code HockeyNightNY for 10% off your order. That's YesMenOutfitters.com.
Back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Hockey Night in New York with Sean Cuthbert and Tony Stabile. All right, Tony. So the show goes on. You still with me over there, pal? You still in the wind tunnel?
I am still in the wind tunnel.
You know what, buddy? You sound a little better.
I got off the off the speakerphone. So now we'll try it this way. See how this works.
You were on speakerphone. What a clown. What a clown.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I was stuck in a conference room. So he's talking in a conference room. He's supposed to use a speakerphone.
No,
so I tried it out. Didn't work out.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Stranded in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So let's keep it going here. Another off the ice media thing I wanted to address with Barry Trotz, since we were also already kind of talking about him and the way he's addressing and handling the team. I want to talk about this whole power play situation. So we touched on it with Chris. Obviously, it's terrible. It's awful. It's really bad. And it amazes me that there are two other teams in the league that are somehow worse than the Islanders. That makes no sense to me, because
last I checked, it's amazing, isn't it?
I think they still are. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a little mind-boggling. And especially, you know, you look at it, I think Nashville was behind them. And off the top of my head, I forget the other team because, you know, I'm brain dead. But but Barry, you know, he gets asked about the power play with the media, of course. They're doing their jobs. And, you know, I have to say, I'm a little surprised, and especially with, I suppose, the tone that he took with regards to, you know, defending your teammates. And apparently there's a little bit of sensitivity with the booing coming from the home crowd. And he was pleading with the fans to hold off on booing 30 seconds into the power play and give them a little bit more of a chance. Now, granted, we're just getting to know Barry, you know, this season. But I almost felt that was a little out of character and thought, you know, that's a little soft, you know? I mean, these are professional athletes. You know, they play in front of, the, you know, thousands of fans every night. Now, I have not had the privilege of playing in front of 13,000 to 18,000, you know, screaming fans a night. So I imagine not having that experience, I can't exactly relate. However, you would think that these guys have kind of been, trained, or at least, you know, come to get used to this whole situation where they kind of tune that stuff out. You know, if the fans booing is going to negatively affect the mindset of the players in the power play, that might be a little more problematic than it should be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, you know, I understand that, you know, it's frustrating because it's, you said it was what, 1-for-37 now? And this has been a problem all year long. And, yeah, I mean, you're frustrated. You're trying to work things out. And then, yes, 30 seconds into the first power play, if people are already starting to boo, I mean, yeah, I can understand how it would be even more frustrating because, you know, you're not even giving us a chance here. You know, it's not like we're 0-for-3 already if it's the first power play and we're already, you know, when we're only 30 seconds into it. So I understand where Barry's coming from on that aspect of it. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, look, this has been a problem the entire season. It has only gotten worse. You are correct. There are two teams that are actually worse, and actually they are significantly worse. The Islanders' power play is at 14.5%. Nashville, who, if you ask most people, will say that they're, you know, a cup contender, they're at 12.8. And Montreal is last at 12.6. Yes, at 12. Montreal
is 12.6. How is that possible?
No, it's possible. It's
So this team went 36 for 37 without scoring, and they're still ahead of these two teams?
By quite a bit.
By a significant amount. How is that possible? So, I mean, God knows what the fans in Nashville and Montreal are doing. But, look, this obviously isn't a huge deal. It's not important. I just wanted to touch on it to, you know, kind of just throw it out there because it was a little surprising to me. I just figured this sort of thing, you know, as far as where the fans come in, like, why even address it? You know, okay, they're booing. You know, and he did say they can do whatever they want, which is correct. But
right.
I was just a little surprised that, you know, he was kind of coming to the aid of the players a little bit there. I feel like he didn't need to do that. You know?
He's going to protect his guys.
And he has to remember, he has to remember, too, that this isn't 30 seconds into the first power play ever. This is 30 seconds into a power play that has been dreadful all season.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah,
I agree.
Exactly. So the fans are going to be a little more impatient every next power play. That sucks.
No,
you know, look, I am not saying, hey, fans have at it, boo the team. I mean, look, you guys do whatever you want.
Exactly.
But, you know, at the same time, like, I'm also not saying don't do it. You know, like, I'm not going to say, oh, guys, you're going to hurt the players' feelings. You know what I mean? Like, look, they got to get it
on
the ice.
It's agreed. I mean, you know, is it difficult to, you know, to fathom how a team that's got, what, 44 wins on the season now, how they have the third worst power play in the NHL? I mean, yeah, it's unbelievable. You can have that conversation, but they've been so good defensively that they've been able to win these 3-2 games and they've really not come back to bite them. Will it come back to bite them in the playoffs? Yeah, it's definitely possible, but I mean, this is definitely I was a little surprised to see that he brought it up. I know that they've been questioned about it. He's been questioned about it every single day, because if there is one thing of this team that you need to complain about, it is the fact that the power play is dreadful. And it's the
one thing that they have not been able to figure out. Yeah, maybe that was his way of taking the focus off of the players and off of the coaching staff and, you know, just throwing it back at the fans. But, you know, what? It's, again, not a big deal. I just was a little surprised and thought it was a little soft. And look, just fix the power play, you know. And, you know, it's funny because everybody's still calling for Scott Gomez's head. And, you know, we've done that whole song and dance on the show more than once, so we don't got to go back there.
Yeah.
But look, whoever is responsible, and it's, again, it starts with Barry. They still got work to do. Look, they're playing every other night now from here until the end of the season. So it's not like they're going to have too much time to work on it. And look, like you said, which is the key, most important thing, they're still winning games despite that. So look, if they can keep pucks out of the net on when they're killing penalties, and if they can keep this 5-on-5 play up, they can probably get by it. And I know the point has also been made in the past too, that, you know, you look at Boston winning the cup, you know, years ago, they had a dreadful power play throughout the playoffs as well, but they managed to win a cup. Now, granted, you can argue back and forth about the talent level and all that, but the point is that you can win games without a decent power play, as the Islanders have shown this regular season, and as the Bruins have shown on that Stanley Cup run.
And you can also be a team that doesn't make the playoffs that could have a very good power play, because three of the top nine power plays are teams that are not going to be going to the playoffs. The number two power play in the NHL belongs to the Florida Panthers, and they were eliminated tonight. So and
they ain't going
Colorado and Edmonton, right? And Colorado and Edmonton are also in the top nine. So, you know, it's not always indicative. You know, the Islanders' style of play is actually more conducive to the way playoff hockey is. It's that grinded out defensive goaltending wins, you know, playoff games, and the Islanders have been playing that style the entire season. So, you know, they're actually pretty well equipped to go into the playoffs. But yeah, you don't want to, you know, go out there. You want to be able to take advantage of whenever you can. So, but look, you know as well as I do that the regular season gets thrown out once you get into the playoffs, and everything starts fresh. So, a team that can have a horrible power play could be a very good one in the playoffs, and vice versa. So, it's not that they don't have the talent; they just have not been able to put it together. And then, you know, maybe it takes getting into that first playoff game to kind of, you know, to find they find something that works for them.
Yeah, and look, we'll address it and call it out if and when it does end up costing them game two in the first round series where they had a 5-on-3 for 2 minutes, you know, like we just saw over the weekend.
Right.
And they failed to do anything. I mean, that's you know, when we might end up having an issue if they lose, drop a game by a goal. But look, it's a problem, and it's, you know, we're starting this show off with a lot of criticism and negativity. Don't worry, we're going to turn this around and go positive, because recent history shows that this team is back on track, at least for the last two games. But look, I mean, you look at that game against Philadelphia, and it's a huge game, and you know how tight the games have been that the Islanders have been playing. So when they get that, you know, what, 2 5-on-3 opportunities, right? They had the first one early, and they end up taking a too many men on the ice penalty that ends up throwing out the last minute of it. I mean, look, they weren't going to score it anyway, but it's nice to dream. But then they get another one, full 2 minutes, and they can't do anything.
Full 2 minutes, and they didn't do it, I know. But Chris said it perfectly. It's very dipsy-doodly, you know. It's all these perfect passes, and, you know, this is the one thing that this team has been not able to do on a power play. It's just get back to basics and put the puck on the net. That is the way they're going to get this thing straightened out and find some kind of a rhythm, and they never can seem to do it on a consistent basis. They're always looking for that beautiful tic-tac-toe pass, or, you know, they're always moving the puck around. It can't be like that. It's just get the puck to the net, get the puck to the net. If you do that, if you continually shoot the puck, then the umbrella that they're using to defend will start to retreat a little bit, because they want to be able to get that puck away from the front of the net, and you'll be able to move it a little bit more. So then you can find a balance between the two. They haven't done that. They keep trying to just move the puck around, and they think that it's going to be magic.
Yeah, it just amazes me that we're at game 76 now, and this is still the situation.
And we're still a conversation.
You know?
Right, I agree. I agree 100%. I mean, the fact that we're still talking about this is amazing.
Look, here it is. You just got to go in expecting, and at the very least, that it's just 2 minutes that the opposition doesn't score. Now, Michael Grabner almost proved that to be wrong yesterday. Thankfully, Robin Lehner was up to the task on that one. But, yeah, you know, it's like you just bank 2 minutes that the team's not going to score. And then if they score, hey, pleasant surprise, Yahtzee. You know what I mean? I mean, that's all it is now. I mean, you take what you can get. Because they're not giving much else. So, look, as long as they continue to be strong in other areas of the game, you know, the goaltending, the 5-on-5, and even the PK. The PK's been pretty good, too. So, look, it's better that it's only one thing, right? That it's just a power play. And I guess you could say scoring, too. They're kind of intertwined, you know? But, look, they're winning games. And, you know, they just won 2 huge games back-to-back here Saturday and Sunday. So it's time to start giving the boys a little credit here. So, you know, regardless of the fact that they struggled mightily on those 5-on-3s on Saturday, they won a huge game against Philadelphia. They also got a little bit of a monkey off their back because, look, let's face it, the last 2 games against the Flyers were dreadful. Flyers really took them to town, so I know everybody going into Saturday was pretty worried about that, especially with the game being in Philly. But, look, the boys showed up, they played Islander hockey, and they grinded out a big, big win. And they come home yesterday, and another matinee, 3 o'clock game. And they played another great game against Arizona. So, you know, it's the ebbs and flows of these last, you know, month or two here, you know, going back into February. I was just reading a stat. I think they're like, 8-7-1 or something like that over the last 16 games, this little bit of a mediocre stretch that they're having here. And it's just, you know, to watch the emotions of the fans and the reactions it's kind of comical to me. Because, you know, they lose a game or two, and, you know, everybody's just so quick to be like, well, the real Islanders finally showed up. This is it.
Yeah.
We'll be lucky to get the second wild card. Season's over.
Right, game 73, all of a sudden, this is the team. This is the norm now.
Right. This is what everybody was waiting for. And then you get this past week, and everybody's like, all right, let's take the Penguins on their week. Let's take the Hurricanes on. We can beat anybody. We're going to the conference finals. You know what I mean? Like, It's just so funny how, like, you know, high and low the fan base can get. You just got to try your best to keep it even, you know? They're not going to be perfect every game. And they're not going to be as bad as they look in games, against Boston and Montreal. I mean, yeah, it sucks. 5-0, 4-0 against those two teams, especially, you know, fighting for home ice, fighting for, you know, playoff position, fighting for a division. Yeah, that's a little discouraging, without question. But, you know, I feel like, you know, fans can sometimes get wrapped up in it and you know, forget that this is happening around the league. This is happening to other teams. The Islanders aren't the only team that are, you know, in the upper echelon of the league right now that are having struggles. You know, you look at Pittsburgh, you know, not, you know, recently they've had their struggles. They dropped a, what was it? They had like one win in four games recently. You know what I mean? So it's going around league wide here. And so as much as we want this team to come in and take care of business every game, it's just not going to happen. So
right.
You just got to try to keep those emotions in check, man. You know, high, don't get too high. Don't get too low because they're not going to, you know, when they blow somebody out 5-0, we're not going to get that for the next six games. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen.
Right. Well, that's the thing, man. You look at this team and they've been the exact opposite of the fan base. They haven't gotten too high or too low. You know, you had a couple of games where it's not, they don't play really well and they come back and boom, they're playing right back to the way they've been playing for most part of the season. I mean, this has been honestly the most consistent team that I can remember. Dating back to probably, you know, the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, we've never had a team that has played this consistently. Even that 2001, 2002 team was up. They were up really good. They started the season, I think they won like 11-0 the first, you know, 11 games of the season, and then they went down and they were up. You know, they were all over the place. And even the, you know, the last couple of years with Capuano and whatever, they weren't a consistent bunch every single night. And this team plays consistently every single night. Coaching staff's not all over the place. And I never feel like, you know, oh, they don't know what's going on. Or they're out of touch or they don't know what the right buttons to press or whatever. Barry decides that this is the lineup he wants to go to. I have full faith in it because this team has been as consistent as could possibly be. And he basically took the same roster that they had last year, minus one big guy, and he's been able to play at such a high level when they played so poorly last season. So, honestly, guys,
right.
You just got to kind of ride with it at this point. You know, just have the faith in what Barry's doing. And these guys have done it for pretty much the entire season. Just let them run it out. I mean, and really, honestly, when you think about it, you're playing with house money. No one expected any of this year. No one ever expected this team to be anywhere near where they are. So the fact that they're here
true.
And that they could possibly go on a run, I mean, this is really like a bonus. No one expected any of this.
No, you're right, but there's nothing wrong with wanting more, too. There's nothing more wrong with getting a little greedy here because they've shown how good that they can play, and they've shown that they
can
hang with any team in this league. So,
right.
Yeah, that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with questioning the coach and staff either. I mean, I've had my moments of surprise here and there, too, where, you know, I may think that Barry's going to make one lineup decision or another. I end up, you know, looking like a clown because I'm wrong, and then he ends up proving me wrong because they turn around and win the next three games or whatever it is. You know, and that's fine.
Right.
That's why even though I might see some decisions being made, you know, like when Andrew Gross posts a lineup and I'm like, yeah, is that right? And then they turn around and they win the next game. I'm like, okay, yeah, you know what you're doing, Barry. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So yeah. I'm still fully on the, definitely worshiping at the altar of Barry still. No question about it. But,
yep.
You know, you can still bring up the fact that the power play sucks and, you know, that, you know, why is he still sitting Michael without call? You know, It's fine. But look, these guys know what they're doing, and more times than not, they're proving why they're the guys behind the bench and we're the ones, you know, yelling about it on Twitter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, bro, I was completely stunned when I saw that they went on with the same lineup on Saturday that they had gone with on Thursday. And I'm like, these guys have just been beat 9-0 the last two games. They haven't, you know, like,
right.
Why would you go with the same lineup again? Like, get Dal Cole in there. Try something different. And what happens?
Yeah.
They go out and they play a great game in Philly, and they play a great game against Arizona. And, you know, then you sit back and you say, okay, you know what? I have no more questions about what Barry's doing.
There is a method to the madness, folks.
Right. He seems to have a pretty good feel of this whole coaching thing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, I guess we could just talk about some individual play. I mean, obviously we touched on Leonard having the great weekend and with the shutout yesterday. How about Josh Bailey, one of many forwards who have struggled of late, who pots two huge goals late on Saturday against Philly to get that 4-2 win? Because, you know, you get to what was it? He scored at 16:03, so we're less than 4 minutes to go in the third period. So at that point, we're all just saying, get to overtime, get that point.
Right, right.
And hopefully they get the second one in OT or the shootout. And then Josh Bailey with two great goals, huge 4-2 win. Everybody's feeling good again. Just talk a little bit about Josh and how he's been playing lately.
No, I mean, you got to – look, Josh has been, you know, on a team that does not score a tremendous amount. I mean, he really has played – and, again, this is a guy who played almost exclusively with Tavares last year. And, you know, he still has 53 points this year. He's got 16 goals, 13 points on the power play. He's one of the few guys that have double-digit points on the power play. You know, four of his 16 goals have been game winners. I mean, really, honestly, you can't – you look at Josh, and I know he's been struggling a little bit over the last little bit here, but he's been fairly consistent this season. I mean, and, you know, he's been fairly consistent over the last couple of years. And, you know, we know what he is now. You know, he's not going to be a 70 or an 80 or 90-point guy. That's not the game that he plays, but he's a guy who you can put out there, and he kind of minimizes those ups and downs. And, you know, it just needed a little time, I guess, to get back on the right, you know, just right in the ship and get back to it, and he's been fine. I mean, I honestly, and those were two of the biggest goals that you'll see because, you know, the team was looking at their first three-game losing streak since I think Chris said it was November. Tremendous, tremendous opportunity for him to pull them out of this, you know, this whole having to go to overtime, possibly not have points in three straight, and he did a great job, man. And Bailey, honestly, after he signed that deal that he signed after not going to free agency and then what happened this last summer, I have very little to say about Josh Bailey, other than the fact that I appreciate his play and he's solid. That's what you're getting out of Josh Bailey on a nightly basis. He's solid.
He is solid. We may not see another season like we did with him and Tavares last season. Maybe we will. I don't know if we're ever going to see, you know, high 60, 70 points again. But look, if he's putting 50 to 60 in, I'm good with that, especially on the contract that he is. And I know he's not everybody's favorite player. But he's a contributor on this team. He's a leader on this team. So it's nice to see him pot a couple of goals. And hopefully he's getting hot at the right time, you know, because he's going to be a guy that this team is going to be relying on from here in the stretch and, you know, heading into the playoffs. And, you know, another guy who's kind of in a similar, you know, kind of a similar, as far as the fan base goes, Brock Nelson. He has a big goal, that first goal that tied the game in the first period. He bats that puck out of the air. And he follows up with another one yesterday against Arizona. So he's got 24 now. So he's on the verge of another 25 goal season. He's already has a career high in points. Now he's over 50 points. So, and that kind of segues into the next thing I want to talk about, which is a piece that Arthur Staple put out today on The Athletic talking about these pending unrestricted free agents that the Islanders have. And I know we've talked about this before, but maybe it's a decent time to check in, especially with Arthur's piece coming out here. Is you got, I guess, what you would call the big four, which is Andrus Lee, Brock Nelson, Robin Lehner, and Jordan Eberle. And a little bit to my surprise, Arthur was saying that Anders is pretty much the only guy that they've really been having any talks with. And when I say guy, I mean his agent. It sounds like they've been pretty quiet on the Nelson front. They've been quiet on the Eberle front, as well as the Lehner front, which I think is the one that surprises me most. So maybe just we'll touch on that a little bit. And, you know, I remember speculating about this earlier on the season and saying, you know, is this a guy, Brock Nelson, that you want to hang on to? Is that a spot that you want to improve on? I think you were still leaning on improving on that spot, maybe bringing in somebody else, and you weren't too opposed to letting him go. I just want to see where you're standing on that now.
Brock Nelson frustrates me. He does,
okay.
Because he's so talented, and when he is involved, like that, I'll be honest with you, the night – if you got the Brock Nelson that played against Toronto at the end of February in the Tavares game, if you had that Brock Nelson on a night in and night out basis, I would sign him to a 7-year contract. I mean, that is the guy that he can be. Okay, he's big. He's offensively minded. He can play with it a little bit. He can play with an edge, though he doesn't do it all that often. He can score a big goal. He's involved in the play like that. That's the kind of guy, and that's the game that he can play. But you don't see it every single night. Like sometimes you see him just, you know, lost out there. And it's been less this year, obviously, than in years past. He does have the 50 points. He's got the 24 goals. He's going to probably $6 million player. That's the problem that I have. I know he's 27.
Right.
I know he's been here.
Right.
You know the kind of player that he is. But is he a $6 million player? That's the part that I struggle with. You know, is this year of him playing like this because he's playing for Barry? Or is he playing like this because he's going to be an unrestricted free agent? I don't know. And that's the part that frustrates me even more, because you've seen the kind of player he can be, and he's not even doing that on a nightly basis, playing for a guy like Barry, playing in a contract year. You know, I think this guy has 30 goals, 60, 65 point potential. You know, you see it on, you see it in him, but he doesn't give it to you enough. And that's the part that I struggle with. I like Brock Nelson. I do. The part is he going to be worth the contract that he's going to sign? And that's really what it's going to be, because some team will give him $6+ million a year for on a 5 or 6 year deal. And I don't know. Like, I don't know if I'm on board with that kind of a contract for him. And that's the part that I struggle with Brock.
No, I hear you, and it's definitely a valid concern, you know, because while he may be worth that much to another team, or maybe just in general, you know, knowing him as well as we do, you know, as observers of the Islanders, you know, you do have to wonder if that six mil or so is going to be worth spending on him or better spent elsewhere. But I think the biggest concern with him is that because they already are just completely devoid of center depth as it is, you know, if they roll the dice heading into the summer looking to improve on him and they let him walk, or at the very least they don't sign him right away, and then, you know, he's kind of lured away during that discussion period or when July 1 comes, and the Islanders are left holding the bag because they can't improve on him or bring in another guy, like, got a big problem at center, because all you got is Matt Barzal up at number one. You just lost your number two, Brock Nelson, because he just signed with Minnesota or wherever the hell he goes. And then you have the 3C, which, you know, yeah, Val Filppula has done a commendable job in that spot, without a doubt. Everybody's missing him right now with that injury. Who knew? But, you know, the guy's got 15 goals. But, look, he's I think he's 35. He's up there in age. I mean, when you get to that age, you don't know when that dramatic dip in play is going to happen. And this could be that one last year where Flip is, you know, that useful player that can slot in a 3C. Do you want to commit production and then you still have to fill that second line spot? You know, maybe Lou just plays it safe and says, you know what, no guarantee I'm going to be able to replace Brock Nelson here, and I certainly don't want to get any worse. So maybe he kind of gets ahead of the game here and he says, you know what, we're going to stick with Brock. Barry likes him. So maybe they kind of just do it. Maybe he, you know, gives him a little bit of a discount like Josh Bailey does. I'm not saying he will. I'm not saying I expect him to. But you might have to play it safe with Nelson just because there's nobody else.
Yeah, well, there's nobody else on the current team. I mean, there are guys available via free agency. Well, I mean, there's going to be guys available out there. You know, I mean, just looking at the list quickly here right now, I mean, you're a free agent. Kevin Hayes is going to be a free agent. Duchesne's going to be a free agent. So those are guys that you can target in free agency. There's no doubt that they're going to take care of this lack of center depth, because they have to. There's no question. It has to happen, because you're seeing now with flipping it down. You know, now you're dipping into your into the AHL, which is not really what you want to do 2 weeks before the playoffs start. So. But they definitely have to go out and address that either in free agency or via trade, you know, at the draft or beforehand or whatever the case may be. But I don't think – I mean, listen, if they're letting Nelson go, they have to know for certain that they have a good shot at one of the top three guys on their list that they're going to look at. So, I mean, any way you look at it, you know, you just have to see, I guess, what it's going to be. I mean, I'm looking at Kevin Hayes here, right? Now, Kevin Hayes is making $5.1 million. He's a $6 million player also. Matt Duchesne makes $6 million now, so he's going to go to $8 million. You have to think, you figure he's going to go to $8 or $8.5 million. So the idea is that, do you want to pay Duchesne $8.5 million, or do you want to pay Nelson $6 million? Is there that big of a difference between the two? I tend to think that there is, but that'd be the case.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about Matt Duchesne being worth $8-$8.5 million. He gets traded to Columbus. They're on the outside looking in here as far as the playoff picture goes. Now, is there anything about that that has you maybe pause here? I mean, you look at him, you know, the whole situation with Colorado, they were pretty good. Then they went south, and then he said, I want it out. Then he goes to Ottawa. They go from, you know, surprising everybody to – you know, going bad there. He wants out, wants to go to the playoffs. Now he's in Columbus, and you think, you know, not only adding him, you add DeZingle, and, you know, you think that this team pretty much, you know, clinched themselves a playoff spot before actually doing it with the acquisitions that they made, and they're struggling to even do that. And does that make you think, hey, maybe Matt Duchene isn't the answer here? Like, sure, it could be coincidence, but is this a guy that maybe just, you know, isn't a winner?
No, I don't think so. And I'll tell you why. Because the Colorado teams that he was on, I mean, yes, the year he left Colorado, they turned into a really good team. But then this year, I mean, they have, you know, they have Nathan MacKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog, and Mikko Rantanen as, you know, they're basically the top three forwards. And they're not a playoff team this year either. So they have problems in that.
They're right there.
They're there, but, I mean, with a team like with Rantanen and MacKinnon on it, you would think that they'd be a little bit higher than just right there.
They're wild card too now. They got 2 points up on Minnesota. They if the playoffs started today, they'd be in. Now by the skin of their teeth, but they'd be in.
I'm not 100% sure that the, you know, the problem was with him in Colorado. And honestly, you know, there was a lot of talk of him being traded before he asked to get out. He asked to be out because his name had been bandied around and been on the block for quite a while. They weren't playing him the way that he wanted. You know, basically they weren't playing him on one of the top forward lines. I think he had dropped down to the third line. So things had gone to a point where – what's that?
I said, inferring that maybe it's his own doing. Maybe they threw him on the third line because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to.
Well, I don't know. The season before he had scored 30 goals, and then the next season he had played 18. It was a minus 34. That was a 16-17 season, the year before he gets traded. Then they tell him they're going to trade him at the deadline. They don't trade him at the deadline. Then they say they're going to trade him. Then they bring him back to training camp. He tells everybody that he's not going to discuss, you know, being traded or being on the block or anything like that. And then 14 games into the season, he's traded to Ottawa. He immediately goes to Ottawa. He has 49 points in 68 games for the rest of the season. Took a little bit of a transition for him to get going there, but he finally got going. This season he had 58 points in 50 games with Ottawa before the trade to Columbus. And yes, but I mean Columbus is another thing because I mean Ottawa is a complete disaster. You can't even go by that. They had all kinds of problems there. They had problems in the room. They had guys with injuries. That was just Ottawa was just a complete disaster. And their owner is like, I think he's having a
nightmare. Yeah, it's a nightmare up there.
I don't know what's going on there. But then he goes to Columbus, and Columbus goes. They have problems in their room too because you got problems with Bobrovsky. You know the Panarin's going out the door. They make all these moves at the deadline. You know, bringing Duchene, DeZingle, Adam McQuaid. You know, they make all these trades at the deadline, and then the team doesn't seem like they're gelling. So it's not just him that's not playing well. The whole freaking team is not playing well. Panarin, I think, has only had like 4 or 5 points in the last 10 or 12 games there. So I can't really say that it's him. I see, you know, if he had played for, you know, the Blackhawks, the Sharks, and the Bruins over the last 3 years, and those teams wet in the crapper once he showed up, that's one thing. But, I mean, he's playing for three questionable organizations at this point at best. So I can't really pin this on Matt Duchene.
Well, I got to play devil's advocate because you got to toss all this around because, you know, that's when you start to weigh, is it worth throwing an extra $2.5 million at Matt Duchene when you can get Brock Nelson and save a little extra cash and put that money towards somebody else? Now, I'm not here to say that Brock Nelson is the same player that Matt Duchene is. I know that there is definitely a disparity by comparison. But, again, you know, the finances come into it, and you have to consider these things. And, again, like, you know, it's going to be very interesting to me to see what Lou Lamoriello decides to do with Brock Nelson, because if he isn't signed by that, you know, wooing period, then I guess that means, you know, Lou is ready to roll the dice and see what happens. You know, well, whether it's move on or just kind of see what he can do. I mean, there is also that possibility of hanging on to Nelson and still bringing somebody else in, which we've discussed previously. It's just a matter of whether they have enough money to do that, you know, if they're adding elsewhere as well. But I just feel like he's kind of the most interesting case here as far as these four guys go. I mean, Anders Lee, we'll talk about now. I mean, it's a much more cut and dry situation. As far as he said, it's a foregone conclusion. He's saying that that's eventually going to happen. They've been going back and forth. The biggest thing is the length of the contract and not so much the dollars.
Right. Yeah, well, I mean, look, we all kind of knew that when they put the C on his chest over the, you know, before the first game, we all kind of knew that Anders Lee was going to be back. So Lee has never said anything about not wanting to, though. That's been thrown out the window with some other players that were around.
Well,
here,
not
but,
that matters.
Right, exactly. That doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. But the point is that Anders Lee is, you know, is a guy who is. Has taken tremendous pride in the fact that, you know, the Islanders gave him the C at the beginning part of the season. He has definitely worn the captaincy with, you know, he's done it very, very well from basically from the
he's
minute
been great.
He gave it to
he's
him.
Been great.
So,
yeah.
No question. He's got 27 goals this year. Again, yeah, even though the guy he played with most of the year last season is gone. So, you know, his production really hasn't dipped. He's been terrific, and I think that once they gave him the C, I don't think they would have given him the C if they were really, truly not really questioning whether or not he was going to come back or not. So I'm not surprised by that. He should come back, and I'm very happy to hear it because he's been a tremendous captain, and I'd like to see that obviously continue.
Yeah, without a doubt, and hopefully they can just get that contract length in the sweet spot because. You know, you look at the type of game that he plays, and you wonder if he might be the kind of guy who, as his you know, career gets into those leaner years, those later years, where you know, the body starts to break down a little bit, and maybe
right.
You know, the contract ends up being a little bit of an albatross. So hopefully they get that number right, but definitely a guy worth keeping around. Like you said, you know, he's been a fantastic captain. He's still putting up goals. I mean, last year, but you know, he's still getting the job. What is he have? 27 now, I believe. Coming out of yesterday.
Yeah, 27.
So,
yeah, that's 27. But this team is also scoring less goals. So, you know, So Arthur's piece was saying that he scored, I think it was 15% of the goals for the Islanders last year, 40 goals. And this year it's like at 14.
Right.
It's almost a shade under 14% with the 27. So he's right on pace where he usually is, which is good to see because, you know, obviously with an infusion of offensive talent, we'll be able to boost those numbers back up a little bit.
Yes, one would like to think. So we're on board. Keep Anders Lee for the right deal. I'm sure that it will be the right deal. And, you know, he'll be the captain for the foreseeable future, which I think is great for this franchise. And we'll move on to the third forward in this group, which is number 7, Jordan Eberle. He scored his 15th goal yesterday against the Arizona Coyotes. That opened up the scoring. So we like that. We don't like so much the fact that he only has 15 goals and he only has 30 some odd points. This is obviously a low for him. He's more of a 60-point guy right around that area. So I think we've been pretty consistent in our speculation from early on in the season that if any of these guys are going to be let go, it's probably going to be him. And Arthur Staple has hopped on that bandwagon as well. And he pretty much also said that that's a foregone conclusion that he's not coming back.
Right. Yeah, I mean, look, man, it's, you know, Jordan Eberle is usually a 20-goal, at a minimum 20-goal, 50-point guy. And, you know, this season you haven't seen it. It's been a very – he's had a really rough time trying to, you know, get his game into that whole Barry system. He even said it in the interviews that he knew when Barry was coming in and Lou was coming in that they were going to play a different style. And, you know, he wasn't really thrilled about it, but, you know, he obviously committed. And, the guy works hard. He does what he has to do out there, but – he just has not gelled the way I think everybody would have liked. And he's got a high price tag. I mean, Edmonton gave him a lot of money coming out of that entry-level deal with $6 million. And he is definitely
not performing like a $6 million
player.
Well, that's the thing. I can't really see him getting much more than he's already making. You know, even if he hits the open market, which as we expect he will, I just don't think he's going to get much more than that six that he has now, especially with the numbers that he's putting up. I mean, right.
No, I agree 100%. I don't see how that could how that's going to happen. I mean, he's unfortunately going to get stuck in that same because of the season. If he would have gone by last season's numbers, that number all would have probably have gone up. But because of the season that he's had, I mean, he's got 4 less goals and only 2 more. So, and Sikas makes about $2 million less than he does. Right, and that's less no power play time, less ice time. So. It's unfortunate. You know, I like Jordan Eberle. I was very happy with the trade that brought him here. But, you know, if there's a guy who's going to walk out the door and you could better utilize that $6 million on somebody else, that would definitely be the guy who I wouldn't exactly be, you know, upset if he ended up leaving.
you know, it's just not as critical as your second line center here, you know, with Brock Nelson. Like, look, maybe they don't have a guy in the organization right now that can step in and take over Eberle's spot. I know someone somewhere right now is saying, what about Hosang? But that's not going to happen. It's not going to be the guy.
No, but
they're going to have to look elsewhere there. And we already know that Lou has his eyes on a guy like Panarin or something like that, you know?
Right. And they also have guys. They also have guys in the organization. They have more depth at wing than they do at center. I know Kiefer Bellows has not had a great season this year. Alvo Wahlstrom has had a rough go of it in college this year. You do have a couple of guys that are around this week that is playing in the KHL that was drafted a couple of years ago that they seem to have. It was reported that he's going to probably sign and come over next year, and that's Golishev, Anatoly Golishev, who's an offensive
right.
type of winger. So he could possibly be in camp next year. We'll possibly get to take a look at him. So, and then another college free agent signing, which is going to happen, it seems it's being reported out of BU that Bobo Carpenter, who was with the Islanders prospect camp last year, is going to sign with the Islander organization. So we possibly get a look at him as well. He was actually kind of impressive. He's Bobby Carpenter's son. He spent four years with BU, and he was their captain this year. And he was actually very impressive in prospect camp. I was actually disappointed that they didn't bring him in on a contract, but he went back to college. He played this year, and a report came out tonight that he is going to sign with the Islanders. So that's another guy who you can possibly bring in. So I'm looking. There's going to be some. You know, there's going to be a whole slew of people that you're going to see in, you know, prospect camp and this and whatnot. And then, you know, once you get to free agency and look, and Art's got a possibility. They look to move him to, you know, to fill one of these spots, you know, a guy who, you know, gets mentioned around because Edmonton is constantly looking for defense is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Is that a guy who Edmonton was looking to make a move like that? And that solves a problem right off the bat because you'd be swapping the contract and you'd be putting him right into a spot because they have an abundance of riches on the blue line at this point. So especially with guys that are coming through the system. So it's going to be really interesting come June.
It is. And I know that there's still six hockey games to play in this season and then playoffs.
Right.
So, and, you know, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves with the offseason.
So why not?
But, well, no, absolutely. Look, I mean, Staple put the piece out, and it's worth talking about. And I guess, you know, before we break for the hero here, you know, real quick, we'll just talk about Robin Lehner. Like I had said at the top of this here, I'm a little surprised there hasn't been more discussions. But I would figure at this point that it's a no-brainer to bring this guy back. I mean, we've said that already. You know, Staple raised the concern that he's still recently recovered from his issues, and that's, you know, I can appreciate that. I understand. But, you know, look, I feel like, you know, he's proven that he can be a great goaltender in this league in a Barry Trotz system. The way him and Thomas Greiss complement each other, I just see no reason to kind of break that up. Why mess with a good thing, right? Greiss has already got one more year left in this contract. He's coming back. I know there's the specter of Mike Carver's white whale in Ilya Sorokin that might be coming over this summer. We don't know what he's going to bring to the table right away. So I don't even know if it's worth risking letting Lehner go just to save a couple of bucks to hope that Sorokin can just step in and compliment Greiss the way Lehner does.
We should have some clarity on Sorokin before. We should have some clarity on Sorokin before they have to make a decision on Lehner. But they also might be waiting to see what happens with Sorokin. I mean, that's a possibility as well. So, I mean, look, it's really going to come down to this. You know, it could be one of two things. It could be the fact that, you know, that they said that they were going to look at everything that was going to happen this year, see the way this team ended up, and then they were going to make their determination after the season was over. You know, with Lee, it's a little bit different. He's the captain now. They gave him the C. They kind of know he's going to stay. So that's one thing. But with these other guys, it could just be the fact that they said, we're just going to evaluate everybody as the season goes on and then make a determination after the year is over. It could be also the fact that they don't want that Lehner doesn't want the distraction, that he doesn't want to hear, doesn't want to talk contract or anything like that till after the season is over. And it also could be the fact that the Islanders are trying to gauge. Like, are they going to invest $5 million a year over a 3 or 4 year deal with Lehner? And they want to make sure that he's going to be able to stay healthy because, like we talked about, I mean, you know, he's not your normal athlete. He's gone through. He's had problems with drugs. He had problems with alcohol. You don't know how that is going to affect the body. I mean, he's 27 years old, but you've also seen that when he plays consistently, you know, 10, 5, 6 games in a row, he gets nicked up a little bit. He has a problem there. So it could be a fact that the Islanders are going to look at it and say, like, okay, we're going to go into the playoffs. This guy's going to be the number one. Let's see how he handles it. And let's see how his body holds up, because that's what's going to happen. Because like Chris said, when you go into the playoffs, it's usually one goal and you ride and die with them. So you have to kind of, what they're looking at here with him.
No, and you know what? That makes sense. And that kind of is a key here. Look, Leonard's had a tremendous season. We all know that. And we're all rooting for him. But, yeah, let's see what this guy can do in the playoffs, because we haven't really seen that yet. You know, let's see if anything changes. Because, look, some guys handle it. Some guys don't. I mean, we've seen guys like Marc-Andre Fleury in years past just go completely mental in the playoffs. We saw that firsthand in that series against the Islanders years ago. I mean, obviously, look, he still has a cup. He obviously got all that together. But this can happen to a goaltender. You know, you get under the bright lights of the playoffs, the pressure's on, and, you know, you're thinking a little too much, and then all of a sudden you're giving up some goals you shouldn't. So let's see what Leonard can do in the playoffs. I mean, look, I feel good about him. I feel confident going into the playoffs with him and Greiss. We already know how Greiss can perform in the playoffs, which is great.
Exactly.
But let's see what Leonard can do. You know, who knows?
Right.
Who knows? So maybe that's part of the assessment here. So, I guess we'll just have to wait and see, pal.
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're going to give him a $20 million investment over the next, like I said, 4 or 5 years, you really kind of want to have a really good gauge. You've seen what he can do in the regular season, but you got to see, you know, is he going to be able to play that 1A type of, you know, minutes? You're not going to always have two goalies that are going to play 1A, 1B the way that these two guys are. You know, usually, you know, that's not the way that it works. It's usually one guy rides it and the other guy is behind. And even if they play 30 games, you know, are you confident at this point that Robin Lehner can handle, you know, 55 games in the NHL? I'm not even sure of that yet. I mean, I know that in the 40 games or so that he's played this year, he's been tremendous. But is he a 55 goalie, you know, game per season guy? And then they can, you know, pick that up and go in the playoffs.
Right. No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's worth keeping an eye on. And real quick, before we break, there was another college free agent that the Islanders signed a few days ago, and that was Grant Hutton out of Miami of Ohio, captain there. Any thoughts on that? I'll be completely honest with you. I know nothing about this guy and what he may or may not be able to bring to the table. So I figured I'd throw that at you and see if you got anything to say about him.
Yeah, I mean, he was a captain with his team. I think he played at Miami. This is a guy, you know, he's a little bit of a late bloomer. The scouting report that I read on him is that he's a pretty good skater. He's got a good first pass out. He kind of plays a well-rounded game. You know, it's a one-year ECL deal.
He's a big boy, 6'3", 209.
Yeah, he's a big boy. Again, he's a little bit of a late bloomer, but he was a captain on his team this year. He's on an ATO right now in Bridgeport, so he's going to finish out the year in Bridgeport there. I don't know how much playing time he's going to get there loaded on D up there. But he's going to be on an ATO up there for the rest of the season, and his ECL's one-year ECL starts now, so yes, depending upon what they see in camp and prospect camp with him. But you take a shot. I mean, he was definitely one of the top 30 college free agents that were available. So the Islanders get somebody, get somebody that can add to the stable. And, you know, look, they have a lot of young defensemen. You know, other than the guys who are already playing in the NHL, you got Sebastian Aho, you got Noah Dobson that's playing in juniors. You have Bodie Wild, you have Parker Wotherspoon and Mitch Van de Sampel. And so, you know, talented defensemen in this organization. And then you just add another one. So maybe you catch lightning in a bottle with him. Who knows? But it's another asset. And we'll get a look at him over the summer.
Hey, why not, Tony? Give him a shot. We'll see. If anything, maybe helps out Bridgeport, who's going to the playoffs. You know, maybe helps them out a little bit at the end of the season here. If not, it's another guy that they have next season. And with all these defensemen that you mentioned, you know, maybe he's going to be filling in because they're going to be shipping some guys out and some deals. We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
I got
no problem with it. All right. Well, folks,
know.
thanks for hanging with us, folks. Sticking with us. Thanks for listening to Hockey Night in New York with Sean Cuthbert and Tony Stabile. Remember, you can always tune in live or for the archives at HockeyNightNY.com. We're going to take one last break. We're going to do the Hero of the Week, and then I will look week ahead, and this final drive here in the playoffs. So, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We will be right back.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Hockey Night in New York at HockeyNightNY.com. the premier live podcast covering the New York Islanders and the NHL at large from our studios right here on Long Island, hosted by Sean Cuthbert and Tony Stabile. Tune in weekly during the season Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time for insights on the team, great special guests, and commentary on all the happenings around the league. If you happen to miss us live, all shows can be streamed or downloaded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at the same address, HockeyNightNY.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, and Stitcher, where you can subscribe and never miss a show, no matter what your preferred platform. Question for the guys? Comments? Interested in the sponsorship? Please contact us at HockeyNightNewYork@gmail.com for any and all inquiries. We appreciate all the support, and as always, let's go Islanders! Love repping your favorite Long Island hockey team? Can't get enough orange and blue swag? Look no further than Yes Men Outfitters, the independent lifestyle brand born on the island to support the game, the team, and the players you love. Visit YesMenOutfitters.com for a wide selection of themed shirts, hats, hoodies, and yes, even pajamas. All apparel is designed and created in-house with the same passion and dedication as your favorite team on the ice. So upgrade your wardrobe and show off your pride today by visiting YesMenOutfitters.com. And don't forget to use promo code HockeyNightNY for 10% off your order. That's YesMenOutfitters.com.
Program, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Hockey Night in New York with Sean Cuthbert and Tony Stabile. And as you hopefully now know when you hear this song, it is time for the Hero of the Week. So, Tony, I'm going to try to stay consistent here with my decent job of knowing who goes first. And I'm pretty sure it's your turn this time, pal.
I believe you are correct, sir.
Wow, what a streak I'm on, huh? How about that?
You are on a streak. Well, you are on a streak. Wow, I'm impressed. And the listeners will be thrilled.
Thank you so much. How's that? Yeah, absolutely. No question about it. So, Tony, with that being said, I hope you're ready, pal. Who is your hero of the week?
Well, my hero of the week is a guy who didn't start off the week very well, but ended it on a real positive. After a real tough game in Boston on Tuesday, he comes back, plays two very good games over the weekend, including a 31-save shutout on Sunday. A guy who has gotten this award from us numerous times this season. Can't say enough about him, the way that he's played this season, the consistency that's been in his game. His goals against average, his save percentage, five shutouts on the year. Robin Lehner has been the rock that this defense has been built on, along with Thomas Greiss. But this week, in two must-win games, he came up huge in those two games. Gets the win, gives up only two goals over the course of the two games. So my hero of the week is Robin Lehner.
Robin Lehner, ladies and gentlemen. I like it. Hard to argue with everything that you just said, assuming that I was listening. But I thought it was a great choice. And But thankfully, Tony, I am not on board with that. We are disagreeing. I think
finally.
The last few weeks, we were in 100% agreement. We went with the same guys, if I remember correctly. So finally, a little disparity here with the Hero of the Week. And I alluded that this guy might end up getting it after his performance against the Flyers on Saturday. And I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go with Josh Bailey as your hero of the week for his two huge goals on Saturday, go up 4-2 on the Flyers, locking those two big points because everybody else around them in the standings right now is winning. So big game from Josh. Big hero moment here. So hero of the week for me Josh Bailey.
Very nice. Very nice. Hard to argue with a guy who scored two huge goals like he did. So really hard to argue with that. So I'll give you that. That was good.
You'll give that to me. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Now granted, there's some honorable mentions. You know, it's after I had mentioned Josh Bailey on Saturday, it was, what about the fourth line? What about this guy? What about that guy? And yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, we've been singing this line's praises all season long, and it is kind of amazing just how much this line, the fourth line, kind of helps to lead this team, and how well those three guys just mesh together on the ice, and how much they kind of struggle when one of them's not there. They just need all three of those wheels going at the same time. Matt Martin,
right.
Casey Cizikas, Cal Clutterbuck, really, really pulling for Cizikas to get that 20th goal. He's got six games left to do it. Really hope that happens. He deserves it. What a season that he's had. You know, just being a real hero of the season. You know, this guy, you know, coming in for a team that isn't known for scoring goals too much this year. This is a guy who stepped up, and he's right up there with the rest of the team now with the scoring leaders. So, you know, huge, huge kudos to Casey Cizikas just for the season that he's having. But, yeah, that fourth line, a lot of people, you know, griping about Cal Clutterbuck over the last few years. You have some people that question, you know, bringing Matt Martin back at the contract that he has and the cap space that he was going to take up. But, I mean, just a tremendous season that these guys have been having. They played great in the two games over the weekend, so they certainly deserve some kudos without question. And I want to give one other honorable mention to Tanner Mitch Fritz for the display that he put on yesterday against the Coyotes, particularly on that penalty kill in the middle of the game. Huge momentum boost for the team. The crowd
Huge.
Was going wild. I was there in the building, and the fans were just going nuts. And then you had Lehner with the big save on Grabner as well. It really really got the fans into the game, and the atmosphere was great yesterday. I have to say, you know, granted it was a weekend, it was a matinee, so a lot of fans do come out to the Coliseum for that. But, buddy, you had a sold-out crowd against the Coyotes yesterday. I mean, how
the Coyotes,
often can you look back?
On a Sunday afternoon.
I mean,
I would
definitely wonder if the Islanders have ever sold out a game against the Coyotes since they've been the Coyotes.
They most likely have not. Yeah, absolutely not.
Right?
Absolutely
not. So big credit to the fans for selling the place out. Yes, the capacity is lower, 13 and change. We know this. But, hey, I give the fans credit. There was a lot of energy in the building. And, hey, Tanner Fritz, big part of that win on Sunday. So I think he's earned himself a little more ice time here going forward with these six games left. So let's just take a look at what we have ahead before we wrap things up here, Tony, because we got ourselves quite the race here in the Metropolitan Division. And with any luck, it's going to come down to April 6th, folks. I might as well start selling it again now. April 6th, Saturday, last game of the season down in D.C. The New York Islanders will be taking on the Washington Capitals for what I hope is going to be a battle for the division, battle for the banner. That's going to be at Boss Croker's in Wantagh. We're going to do a live pregame show at 5 o'clock before the game, so make sure you show up a little bit early. We're going to be hosting with Brian and Isles meetups with Devin at Yes Men Outfitters. He's going to be there. He's going to have his swag, his fantastic swag, so you'll be able to pick some of that up. It's just going to be an all-around great night, going to have a lot of fun. We still have some guests to announce, have a potential guy here and there, just kind of waiting on confirmation. We'll announce that as soon as it's solid. But it's going to be a great night, going to be a lot of fun, and, you know, it's really creeping up with us, Tony. I'm pretty damn excited.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a fun night. You know, come hang out with us. You know, we're going to do the live show at 5. We're going to hang out for the game. We're going to do some raffling and stuff. It's going to be awesome, man. I mean, we had such a great time when we did it at Offside back in December for the Islanders in Toronto, and this game is going to be way more important than that game was. So everyone should be stoked for this game. It's definitely going to has playoff implications. If it's not for the division, it definitely could be for seeding or for home ice advantage. So it's a tremendous thing that's going to be on this. Everything is going to ride on this. I have a feeling everything is going to be riding on this last game. So come hang out with us. Come down to Boss Croker's, and we can make fun of Sean all you want.
There you go, folks. Come down and make fun of Sean, but you're probably going to want to make fun of Tony more. But that's at 1871 Wantagh Avenue in Wantagh on the South Shore. Like I said in the previous shows, it's right there off the LIRR. If you want to hop on a train, you want to leave the car at home, going to be a great time. You got $3 pints of Miller's, 40-cent wings. Going to be a lot of fun, so come on down. And, hey, All the Islanders got to do is stay within that 1 point that they are right now, the Caps, and all they'll need is that last game. That last game, huge. Then they might be raising the banner next year. I mean,
that's
been
right.
A long time since that happened. 1988, the last time they won a division. So it's time. It's time. So let's party. Let's have a good time. Come on down. Going to be a lot of fun. So, but before we get there, they got a few more games on the schedule. And it doesn't get much easier, folks. It's going to be quite the stretch here from now until the end. They're pretty much playing every other day, as I mentioned before. So tomorrow night they go into Columbus. And who knows, maybe that puts the nail in the coffin on the Columbus playoff dreams if they come out with a win tomorrow. I mean, Jackets aren't in a great spot right now. They're on the outside looking in. Let's take a look at the standings. You got the standings up, buddy? Or I'll bring them up here. I know there are a couple points out here. They're 2 points behind Montreal, but they have a game in hand. So they certainly have a shot, but if the Islanders take the win tomorrow night, it's going to get even dicier for them. So not only to help the Islanders, standing in the division, hopefully to get that division title, but as I said, since that trade deadline, man, I want to see the Blue Jackets miss the playoffs after making all those acquisitions.
Yeah,
just because it's fun. I would enjoy that very much. So you got a big game there over in Columbus. Let's move on to Thursday, and they have the Winnipeg Jets in Winnipeg. 8 p.m. start there. Everybody knows how good Winnipeg is. They're in a battle themselves over in the Western Conference. They're neck and neck there with Nashville in the Central Division. So that's going to be a tough game for certain. Then you move along to Saturday.
Ahead. I'm sorry. They were 4 points ahead with a game in hand.
Is that right? All right.
Yep.
So maybe not so neck and neck. Maybe I was a little off there. But you know, still 4 points is 4 points. That's something that the Preds can catch up on. I'm not ready to give Winnipeg the division there yet. And especially, hey, if the Islanders come out of there with a win, then you know maybe Nashville catches up. But then we go to Saturday. The Islanders come back home. And they play against the Buffalo Sabres, who at one point led the NHL very early in the season. They rode a 10-game winning streak. Everything came crashing down. And once again, Jack Eichel is not going to the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. But
nope. They've lost 8 out of 10.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's not how you make the playoffs. But look, they still have some good young talent. They're going to be playing for pride. And you have these, you know, what they call trap games, and you're playing against these teams with nothing to play for at the end of the season. They're playing stress-free, you know, so you can't go into Buffalo you can't host Buffalo on Saturday and just expect 2 points because of where they are on the standings. Now, obviously, everybody will be very, very upset if that doesn't end up being a win. But, look, they got to show up to play. I mean, you saw what happened against Montreal, you know, only a few nights ago, getting blown out by them 4-0. So, none of these games you can take for granted, but that's the week ahead. And then the final stretch after that, the Islanders are back home for their final home game of the season at the Coliseum. And who is that against but none other than number 91 and the Toronto Maple Leafs? What a way to send off the regular season at the Coliseum than against Pajama Boy himself, John Tavares.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Toronto is. They got back off the schneid tonight. They won. They've been 4-4-2 in their last 10. Tavares actually had a big night against Florida. He scored 4 goals. So they are. Won. They ended up winning 7-4. And so Toronto is back on the winning side of things. Boston also won. They beat the Lightning, which is notable right there. I realized this the other day, bro. Do you realize that if the
Boston
Lightning
won
another
game?
Yes, Boston ended up winning. They were up.
No, Tampa won, pal. Tampa won.
They came back and they
Tampa
won. Wow, they were up 4-2 in the third. They won 5-4.
Yeah, no, I saw it.
You realize
that's why
the
I was
Lightning,
shocked. Because...
Do you realize if the Lightning win one more game, they're going to have 60 wins on the season?
That's a lot. That's a lot. Yeah.
Can you believe this?
Yes, because they've been doing it all year. I mean, my God, they have a plus 100 goal differential. That's insane.
I know.
Nobody else is even close. You know who the closest is? Boston and Toronto at plus 43. So they have more than double than both of those teams in goal differential. Unbelievable. But as they say, folks.
Flames are plus 58.
Okay, fine. The Flames are plus 58. I missed that. I should have said in the Eastern Conference. But yes, the Calgary Flames plus 58. But even still, that's not even close either. I mean, come on. But look, the regular season doesn't mean anything. Not to take anything away from the Lightning, because the season that they're having is incredible.
It's one. One for the books, man. It's one for the books.
I mean, they got a shot at 130 points. I mean, they got five games left, and they certainly could go 4-1 the rest of the way and get 130 points.
No question.
Which
would be absolutely
just unreal. But look, I mean, it doesn't mean that the cup is a guarantee. We've seen a lot of President's Trophy winners come and go, and they didn't come home with the Holy Grail. You know, you never know who could catch fire in the playoffs, whether it's a team, whether it's a goalie. So, you know, this is not a foregone conclusion here. Obviously, Tampa's the heavy favorites, and certainly not a team I would necessarily want to face in the playoffs. But I know I've said it already. I would much rather play Tampa in a conference final than Boston, should the Islanders get that far.
I agree. I agree.
I think for as good as the Lightning are, I still think that the Islanders got more of a chance against those guys than against the Bruins, because as
they
we've seen their season. They do. They really do. And hopefully, you know, we get far enough where we can actually talk about that playing either one of those teams. I'd happily play either one of those teams in the conference final. So we'll see how that goes.
Right.
But, look, next time we're doing the show, Tony, there's only going to be three left, including that game against Toronto. And then you got two more left on the road. That's going to be Thursday night in Florida. And then you got, like we talked about, Saturday, April 6th, Boss Croakers, Wantagh, playing the Washington Capitals, which will hopefully be the showdown for the banner. And that's going to be a big one regardless, because even if that isn't for first place, it's more than likely going to be for home ice. You know, it's going to have an effect on the standing. Yeah, exactly. Whether it's first place or not, that's going to be a huge, huge game. So what better way to get together with your fellow Islander fans, cheer the team on, have a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm glad that that's only a couple weeks away here. It's going to be an absolute blast for certain. So come on down, come early, get some food, get some drinks. Going to be a great time. So, Tony, unless you have anything to add here at the end, I guess we'll wrap this thing up.
No, we can put a bow on it.
Okay, Tony, I thought maybe you might have had something there, especially since I'm trying to stall here.
Trying to get the music going. I'll give you this. While you get your music together, I'll give us a quick Bridgeport Sound Tiger update.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay. Sound Tigers had a very good week, by the way. They went 3-0-1. Last Sunday, they took out the Springfield Thunderbirds 4-0. Jeremy Smith with the big game there. He had 29 saves for the shutout. On Wednesday, they lose in overtime to the Toronto Marlies. We don't need to discuss that. You know, Toronto and all, we don't need to really care about that.
Sure.
On Saturday, they played the Belleville Senators. They defeated them 2-1. Chris Gibson made 30 saves in that one. Steve Bernier scored his 22nd goal. And finally, on Sunday, on their back-to-back, you know, the crazy schedules of the AHL, Syracuse Crunch. They defeat the Crunch 4-1. Again, Jeremy Smith has a great game in this one. They defeat the Crunch. I believe I think Parker Wotherspoon had a goal in this game. They would just Chris Bork with another goal, Wotherspoon a goal, Kovula put it into the empty net, his 18th of the season. So got to look at what's going on in Bridgeport now. They got 39 wins, and they're going to be in the playoffs, man. It's going to be a real good run here for you know, the Islanders and their prospects, that they're going to be they're both going to be at the top of their divisions and riding into the playoffs here coming to April.
Yeah, it's great stuff to see the big club and the little club both heading into the playoffs together. That'll be fun to watch. I may even try to catch a Tigers playoff game if they're streamed anywhere or the like. You know, it might be a little fun to catch a Tigers game while the Islanders are off or something like that, you know?
No question.
All right, well, let's wrap this thing up here, folks. Thank you so much for tuning into Hockey Night in New York with Sean Cuthbert and Tony Stabile. Remember, you can always catch us live or for the archives at HockeyNightNY.com. Follow the show on Twitter at HockeyNightNY. Follow Tony at Tony Stabile. Follow myself at Shawnee Hockey. And don't forget to also follow our fellow host for the April 6th showdown against the Washington Capitals. You can go to nyimeetups.com to actually check out Meetup's website. If you're thinking about getting together with some fans, if you're away from Long Island, you got Meetups sprouting up all across the country. It's great stuff. You got them in Carolina. You got them in Philadelphia. You got them in Pittsburgh. They're all over the place. I think a chapter just opened up in Milwaukee, actually. So definitely check out that website and get involved, nyimeetups.com. And you can follow Brian at Isles Meetups. And obviously, do not forget about Yes Men Outfitters. Devin does a great job there with his clothing line. You can check them out, yesmenoutfitters.com. You can follow them on Twitter, at Yes Men Outfitter. And, folks, we're going to do one more, and then we got the live show against the Washington Capitals. Huge thanks to Chris King, the Islanders Radio play-by-play voice, for joining us tonight. Tony, thank you for calling in from Manhattan. I hope you don't get stranded out there all night. Hope you find your way home, pal.
You'll be both, buddy.
So, folks, thank you so much for joining us. We will be back next week.